Hey now, we are at a critical day in our lives right now. One of the coolest parts of doing podcasts is coming together with friends and talking about really cool things. So we have a new show right now, part of the Multimedia Men brand. It is called Mediocrity. It's okay. It's just okay. What would you guys say? It's okay? It's all right.
Not great.
It's not great. But we're here to talk about, like, really cool things, like really geeky stuff, like comic books and horror movies, sci-fi, video games, stuff like that. It's going to be fun. We can't promise quality, but we can promise maybe some boners. We don't know. We might get hard.
And words. We can promise words.
Well, my name's Brian Kluger. I'm with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. And I am with the amazing Jonathan Atterbury, all the way from the West Side. Jonathan, how did you come to Texas? You're a Texas native now. What's going on?
Well, I've been out in Texas for about 7 years now, almost 8 years, actually. And originally, I just came out because it was a giant what the hell, why not kind of moment. Okay. Jeremy moved out here, and you were living out here, and I was just at a point in my life where I wanted some adventure.
Did we have sex?
We had sex a few times.
Sounds good. And if for those of you who can't see Atterbury right now, he has a really cool muscle shirt on. Jonathan, he loves comics, he loves horror movies, but he's kind of like, he's really buff, built dude. Like, he would kick anybody's ass, I think, if you saw him. And he's wearing a really cool shirt right now, and it's kind of like a Double Dragon-esque shirt. What is this?
It's actually a buff dude's
shirt. A buff dude's shirt.
Yeah, buff dudes. There's some really awesome guys on YouTube, and they make some great content, but yeah. And so, it's like models look like those old NES cartridge covers.
Okay. So besides playing video games, loving horror movies, what else do you do?
Well, what I do is I am actually a personal trainer. I do online coaching. And I also run my website, newamericanfitness.net, and you can find me on Twitter at New American Fit and on Instagram, just New American Fitness. And I basically do all the writing for the blog, and I just recently wrote a book. So
badass. So since you love all the comics and comic book movies, have you incorporated that into your personal training?
To a certain extent. I mean, one of the things that motivated me the most to get started was actually, I remember when I went and saw the new Superman movie.
With Man of Steel?
With Henry Cavill.
I loved it. Yeah, a lot of people didn't, but I loved it.
I thought it was fantastic. And so when I went and saw Man of Steel, I remember Henry Cavill coming out with the shirt off and just the incredible feeling of inadequacy that washed over me.
More than just inadequacy, it was a lot of love.
It was.
Made me some feelings.
Yes, it made me feel some things in my nether regions that I wasn't used to feeling.
Oh my goodness, I felt the same way. Awesome. Well, I'm glad to have you on the show, regular. And to my left here is the incredible Jeremy Magert. I've known Jeremy since, like, the Reagan administration, so we go way far back. He's always been into comic books. He's a music guy, too. He plays music, loves music, and he's an illustrator. Actually, he's a professional comic book artist right now. So tell me, I remember growing up with you, and I think one of your favorite comic books was Spawn. Did Spawn really, like, help you get into that hole or spark all that creativeness in you?
It was kind of like a middle point, probably, influence for comics for me. When I first got into comics, when I was a kid, like, my parents would buy comics, like, we'd go on road trips, and so they would go, like, just pick up a couple, like, random Spider-Man or, like, Batman comics or something like that. But I really got into comics and was in high school. I was taking art classes, and I wanted to learn how to draw people. And while this is actually not a good way to do that, I thought that I would go buy some comic books and see how those guys did it. And one of the first books I bought was a Wolverine issue. I think it was like number 75.
And, from like the old school, like the 80s, right?
At that point, it probably would have been 90s. I
90s, mean. Okay. So post Frank Miller.
Yes.
Okay.
So it would, I think it was the 90s. And yeah, that's really what got me kind of into drawing comics then.
So Schnick, Schnick, Schnoy did it? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I remember you always got beat at that car game on PlayStation, Twisted Metal, right?
You have half of that correct.
Well, what half do I have
you
correct?
You have the game correct.
The game correct. All right. You did the beating, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I got beat mercifully. Fuck. But you do now. What are you drawing? What are you working on now? What can we look forward to you comic book wise?
Currently, I am drawing a book called Primal Instinct, which is Jurassic Park meets Battlestar Galactica.
What?
So dinosaurs fighting humans in space in the future.
That is bad. I just got hard thinking about that. well, when does the issue come out? Who else is doing
it? The issue is being written by Kyle Rouse, and we are working on the first issue. I'm actually done drawing the first issue. I started drawing issue 2 yesterday. We are going to most likely be debuting the book at the Dallas Comic Show in August.
Is that in the Richardson one?
Yes.
At the Richardson Civic Center?
Yes. So the plan is to have issue 1 done and in the hands then.
And you'll be there.
I will be
live
there.
Live in person?
Live in person.
Do you have another comic book that you've done?
I do a web comic called Space Beards, but since I started Primal Instinct, I don't really have a whole lot of time to do Space Beards, unfortunately.
Space Beards. And just for you know, Jonathan and Jeremy both have beards.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a true story. Space Beards. So yeah, that's us. We're the trio, the three amigos, where we are Mediocrity. We'll soon have a Twitter account and Facebook and all that. Jazz, we'll set it up so you can tell us how handsome we are, even though you haven't met us.
Or how awful you think our show is.
Yeah, please do. Please do both. And for next week, we will probably have all these social media spaces, and we'll be fielding questions via social media and answer them live on the air. So stay tuned for that. But our first topic of our first episode, episode number 1, our origin story, is basically we're going to talk about all these comic book adaptations into movies. Ever since X-Men in 2000, it's just that did so well financially and critically, now that we have a plethora of comic book movies. It's everywhere. TVs, plays, movies. It seems like the market's oversaturated. There's good, there's bad. I'm going to go to Jeremy first. What do you think about this? Do you think there's too much comic book stuff in movies now, or do you like it? Do you think it's going in a good direction?
I like it. For me, it is not oversaturated. For me, it's basically like a golden age of like superhero and comic book movies, and we've never had this many before. You know, and a lot of people make the comparison to, like, the Westerns, where they're like, oh, there's going to be so many that people are going to get tired of them and they're going to go away. But, you know, I don't know. It seems like everybody's having fun going and seeing them. And, yeah, every now and then we get a Fantastic Four movie or something like that, which is not ideal.
They still have never gotten right Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been so bad.
You know, but to me, it's pretty much all good to go.
You're enjoying it. So,
yeah.
With you, do you feel the same way? Do you think, like, even with all the Netflix shows and the CW stuff, do you think it's just you want more, or do you want just like stop already?
I want more good. That's what I want. I think that there's definitely a lot of it out there, but I only have a problem with it when it's shitty.
So give me examples of like how not to do it. Like, what are?
Oh, well, you know, this is something that Jeremy here and I are going to disagree on to a certain extent, but one of the things that I tend to really get over fast, like things that really don't rub me the right way, are the TV shows on major cable networks, like Arrow and The Flash and things like that. I don't like those shows at all.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree with you there too, because Arrow it's okay, like our show, but Flash is really
good.
Our
show might actually be a little better than Arrow.
Arrow, those first two seasons were pretty good.
I don't know. The first two seasons, I couldn't even make it through the second half of the second season.
It was that bad for you?
It was that bad.
I like the second season. The first season, there was a little too much, I just feel there was a little too much Batman Begins going on in that.
Yeah.
And so I feel like once they kind of got away from that in season 2, that's when I started to enjoy the show more. But then once they started doing the whole like relationship thing, that's when it was just like a pool ball rolling off the table.
Yeah.
So that's what you didn't like about it.
It feels too much like the OC. That's how I would describe
it's
it.
It's like where you're from, so it's like true.
That's why he doesn't like it. You know, to me, it's like it just tends to be like sort of like a more soap opera than anything else, you know.
Okay. I mean, I get that. I mean, I've reviewed the Arrow seasons before, and like, they're all right. They're not great. The Flash, though, I think The Flash is really solid.
Well, to be fair, I've only seen, two episodes of The Flash. And
okay.
They were really early on, and it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Immediately reminded me a little too much of Arrow, and I just got hands off at that point.
Okay, so TV wise, what about like the new Daredevil on Netflix or Jessica Jones?
I loved Daredevil. Okay. Jessica Jones wasn't quite as exciting to me because I just felt like it was a little bit less inspired. I feel like Daredevil was so stylized and they had really like the choreography for the fights, everything was spot on and perfect really for those two seasons. Jessica Jones kind of, I felt, has not really found its home yet.
Okay.
It hasn't really found its groove, but it can get there. I think it's got a lot of potential.
Netflix does a good job, and that's another point with film and TV in the superhero realm. Everything's into darkness. We make darker versions. I mean, yes. DC's more so with that with Warner Brothers. Marvel is like the lighter side of that, but they're still doing very dark stuff.
They're getting into it a little bit. They're trying the tip just to see how it feels.
It's just the tip. So do you think that the whole dark... Well, I guess that's why, you know, back when like Old Man Logan was happening and, you know, Killing Joke, you know, everything, a lot of these comic books were resurging from the 80s or 90s, and they were like pretty violent for, I guess, the people who were kids. Now adults want something crazier. But do you think that that's what we need as far as our comic book movies go?
I don't think that's the only thing we need. I think that I'm a person who loves that shit. I'm a person that when I hear a movie's like hyper-violent, I'm sold. I'm on it. So I'm on board with all the sex, all the violence, all the foul language, the whole shebang. I want it all. So, but there's also got to be movies for the preteens who are into it, or even the kids that are into the superhero thing. So I think it's good to have the whole gambit.
What about you, Jeremy?
For me, I feel like in that regard, as long as it's loyal to the source material,
yeah,
that's really what I care the most about. Like, for example, like if you did a PG Daredevil, you know, it wouldn't be as fun. Like, because it's like he's out at night, you know, it's like he's more like, you know, violent. And to a certain degree, you know, with Iron Man, it's like when you blast somebody with a repulsor, it's a little more, even when you're doing it with realistic animation, it's not the same as when you've got a guy who's like smacking somebody in the head with a billy club and,
right,
you know, punching them and throwing guys off rooftops, that kind of thing.
Wolverine's a perfect example of
that. Yeah. It's like all of a sudden, you know, you put Wolverine in the PG thing and he's like stabbing people and, you know, cutting through them and there's no blood anywhere. And it just kind of looks weird and doesn't really make sense.
And we want evisceration. We want just innards flying everywhere with this schnickety schnick move.
It's why the new Deadpool movie works so well, is because that was so loyal to the source material that it just was awesome.
Yeah.
And it translated well on film, too. Like, they did a good job with it. And I agree, Wolverine is the more violent of the superheroes in that realm. But we are hearing reports that the new Wolverine movie will be rated R.
And that's such welcome news.
Yeah, because, you know, in the last X-Men movies and all the X-Men movies he's been in, they've been PG-13. And you do get some violence, but there's no blood. You just see the claws go in, they come out, and there's nothing.
Yeah.
But in the last X-Men movie, the we're canceling the apocalypse one, he got to go Wooly Berserk style for a little bit. There was head decapitations. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't all the way there.
Right.
Did you like X-Men Apocalypse?
I have not seen X-Men
You haven't seen X-Men Apocalypse? Oh my goodness. I actually really liked it. Have you seen it yet?
I did. I really liked it. I felt like of all the X-Men movies I've seen, I felt like, as somebody who's read X-Men comics for a long time, I felt like it was finally an X-Men movie that was made for somebody that actually really likes X-Men comics and reads X-Men comics. You know, honestly, hilariously enough, that Wolverine, you know, kind of little scene may have been one of my least favorite parts of the movie.
Because it was in there just to have
it. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of, like, when you take a story and you get, like, and you've got a 3-minute scene that if you could have, like, taken that out of the movie, it would not change, like, your plot or anything else. And that was kind of the way that was. And, like, I liked the blood, but a lot of the blood splatter and things you saw, you know, you would see him rush at somebody and then, you know, he hit him with the claws, but then they would cut and move the camera over and then you would have the blood spray. So, like, it's not exactly, you know, but it's better.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get there. And then we have to talk about Batman vs. Superman. It got such awful reviews. It was just a poorly made movie, in my opinion. But what do you think about this whole Justice League thing that DC's trying to do, the whole Marvel thing and trying to do that. I think they're doing it too fast. I think, like, they had one movie, well, I guess technically two, Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, but then a Justice League movie right away. And it's just like, you need to build up like Marvel did for, like, 7 years to get invested in these characters right before you have that. What do you think?
I'm excited about the potential the Justice League movie has. I honestly didn't even see Batman vs. Superman yet.
Oh,
I think, you
goodness.
Know, I'm failing as a superhero movie guy over here, but I honestly, with X-Men and with Batman vs. Superman, I just wasn't interested. And I think that may represent some of the fans out there, because I do consider myself a fan of superhero culture. I'm not as much of a comic book fan as you guys or anything like that, but I do really, I'm interested in the whole world of it all. But at the same time, with both of these movies, you know, the X-Men movies largely have just been so, And then, of course, this Batman vs. Superman, it was just overwhelmingly negative reviews that were coming out. And with both of these, I was like, you know, these are going to be movies I rent when they come out on video.
And it's just disappointing, because you have Batman and Superman coming together finally, and the best part, in my opinion, of Batman vs. Superman was Affleck as Batman. He played a good Batman. But other than that, there were just so many things wrong with it that they could have done better. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I also didn't see it.
Oh, my God. You two haven't seen Batman vs. Superman.
Show canceled.
See? Mediocrity right here. It's okay.
We're living up to the name.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I wanted to see it. I haven't really gotten around to it just yet. I will most likely wait until the unrated what I'm assuming is Bat.
The rated R version, yes.
Yeah. That when that's gonna hit, I'll probably just pick that up, because I try to see pretty much all of those movies just because really I want them to make more. And people get on the internet and complain or don't complain or say they like it, but really, what gets more movies made is people going to see them, and
money.
I want more of these movies to keep being made, you know, even if they don't necessarily always get them right. But I'm hoping that with all the Geoff Johns stuff, like kind of overseeing the movies, the DC Warner Brothers movies, that gets better. So yeah.
And the opposite of Batman vs. Superman is Captain America: Civil War, which was damn good, not just as a superhero film, but as an actual, just plain old movie.
Yes, absolutely.
So you both saw that, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
Marvel, I don't tend to miss any Marvel movies that come out, unless it's the Fox Marvel movie.
Okay, so tell me why Marvel as opposed to the DC stuff.
Well,
because there might be other listeners and readers out there that feel the same way.
Primarily for me, it's two things. One, specifically, it's Marvel Studios movies. Because if it's the Fox Marvel stuff, that's the stuff that's got me feeling burnt out. That's the X-Men, the Sam Raimi, Spider-Man, stuff like that. That's stuff I just didn't really care about that much. But so far, there hasn't been a single Marvel Studios movie that I haven't loved.
So since Iron Man.
Yes.
Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Hulk.
All of them. I loved every single
one. Iron Man 2?
Yeah.
You might get some shit for that.
You know what? But there are still so many things in that movie that made me excited.
That movie had a suitcase armor. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. And the whole scene in the Biodome with him and War Machine just going to town on the robots, it was still a lot of fun.
All right.
It was imperfect, but it was more exciting than it was frustrating.
And do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, the suitcase armor, when he puts that on, that might be one of my favorite Iron Man
suits. In Iron Man 2?
Yes.
Okay.
In all of those movies, that is one of the coolest suits of armor.
It's probably the best part of a movie.
I don't know, man. Like I said, that Biodome scene with him and Rhodey, that was pretty fantastic.
Where they're just murdering all those robots.
Yeah.
And there's, like, oil flying everywhere, you know? robot guts.
Oh, my goodness.
Nuts and bolts flying everywhere.
But, yeah, so that it's primarily because of the faith that I have in Marvel Studios, and just the fact that I was always more into Marvel as a kid when I was growing up. When I was a teenager, and when I was a young kid, and all those things. When the action figures I had, the cards that I collected, the video games that I played, they were all Marvel.
Okay, so you're the Marvel guy. All right, I like it. And let's talk about all the, since Marvel and DC are doing well financially and mostly critically, all the other comic book studios are coming out of the woodworks. And so we've got Walking Dead, which is amazing. We've got Preacher, finally, after years of trying to get done, is on AMC.
Have you seen Preacher yet?
Yes.
I haven't watched any of that yet.
Oh, my goodness. Because I used to have a comic book shop. Jeremy and I used to have a comic book shop. And we always had Preacher and Walking Dead on display.
I remember that.
And now we both have TV shows that are really good right now. But also, we just read about Rising Stars coming to comic book. And, oh, God, I could count endless ones.
There's all the Mark Millar books, man. It's like,
oh, yeah, Kick-Ass.
And there's Kick-Ass. They're doing some more Hit Girl comics. He had Wanted was made into a movie. He did Kingsman. Kingsman is about to get us. They're doing the sequel right now, which I can't wait for because I love the first one.
The first one was good.
He's got Chrononauts that's been licensed into a movie. He released a book called Empress, and before that issue was even on the shelf, he had, like, I think I read that he had, like, the main actress cast. And he's got all these other books, like MPH and Starlight, that he every single property is becoming like a TV show or a movie.
His stuff's all really good too. I've always enjoyed all of his books and the movies that come from them.
He wrote the Old Man Logan book.
Yes.
You know, so.
Which supposedly the new Wolverine movie might tap into that territory, which would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Because Old Man Logan is damn good. All of these coming out, which comic that they have not done yet do you want to see? Mine's Evil Ernie. I want a fucking Evil Ernie movie, TV show right now. And everybody thinks I'm crazy, but it'll happen. Mark my words.
Man, for me, is there anything you can think of offhand?
I mean, do you want a Spawn remake, or do you think the first one was good enough?
The first one was perfect. Shut your mouth. I would actually like that in a day where we can get a rated R, you know, comic book property movie. I would be totally down for another Spawn.
Another Spawn? Because the first one was PG-13, right? I can't remember.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember.
I believe so.
New Line Cinema. What about you?
I don't know. Like I've said, there's not a lot of... I'm not so much of a comic book dude. So I can't think of a lot of comic books off the top of my head that really haven't been tapped into yet. I mean, when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I had never even heard of Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's an older comic, and like that brought new life to that.
And there's lots of things like that that are coming out that I haven't heard of yet, but I'm always interested.
I am always interested. And I'm always interested. So Garth Ennis, the writer who did Preacher, also did an insane miniseries called Crossed. I don't know do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Crossed. Oh, it is insanely crazy and bloody. And it's right up your alley, John.
Perfect.
I would love to see a series on that, but we'll see. I doubt it will happen. But yeah, that's our... Well, before we end our comic book segment here, adaptation, tell me... what are your top two favorite comic book movies since 2000?
Number one would definitely be Winter Soldier.
Okay.
I think, even though I love Civil War, I think Civil War is going to actually end up being number two. But Winter Soldier takes the cake because I just love the flavor that they kind of revisit with those old like CIA spy thriller kind of movies from the 70s. All the President's Men, those kinds of things. They really took a lot of that flavor over to this movie and gave it a whole new depth that I really wasn't expecting.
The Russo brothers, man. They're awesome.
Oh,
and
they're
directing
perfect.
The Infinity Wars, but they last... Oh, it's so good.
And honestly, like, the fight choreography for Winter Soldier still has not been touched by any other movie I've seen. It is, to me, the best fight choreography in any superhero movie that I've seen.
All right. And your number two is?
Number two, I'm going to say Civil War.
Whoa!
Just because it was that exciting. It was that great to see a good Spider-Man on film and within the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Not just being removed in the Fox Universe.
So, Jeremy, he didn't mention Deadpool in his top two.
Yeah.
Every 2 minutes, he was mentioning Deadpool for years. I'm shocked.
Well, part of it is he never really recovered from the trauma of Wolverine Origins.
It's still a
I don't want to talk about it, all right, guys? I'm not ready.
All right, so those, and Jeremy,
he might be slightly less scarred than Ryan Reynolds, I don't know. My type, man, it's tough to pick, too, because I agree with John about Winter Soldier. That is probably my overall favorite Marvel movie, but it's like, with those movies, it's like, you know, my top two honestly probably rotates, like, Winter Soldier, you know, the first Iron Man, Civil War, and Deadpool, and, you know, Ant-Man. I loved Ant-Man so much.
Yeah, Ant-Man's good.
Ant-Man was good. I think I like those. I think I'm going to say Guardians of the Galaxy is my first one. My favorite so far. And it's a cross between probably Civil War and the first Avengers movie. Because those first Avengers, Joss Whedon just perfectly did that whole movie.
He did. He nailed it.
Just knows the character so well.
Yeah.
And then you know, in the second Avengers, you get Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah, you do. Which, you know, it's just like Jon Favreau with the Iron Man. It's like, I think Kevin from Marvel and Marvel Studios just wanted too much of their input, and they both left directing the movies, or at least the third ones that they could have. And with Avengers 2, while I did like it, it just didn't seem to have the same flow or same charm as the first one. And I really think, like, that in that perfect Whedon-esque way, that scene with Scarlet Witch and what's the arrow guy's name, Hawkeye, when he's telling her how ridiculous it all is, like, I think that was Joss Whedon screaming out, "Fuck! We're on a city that's flying. We have these people. It's all ridiculous." I'm like, oh, that was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
That was a really good part of that movie.
But there was other good moments, but I didn't have the same thing as the first one, but I still love that Avengers and Civil War, like, tied for a second. But Guardians of the Galaxy, man, the Jackson Pollock joke alone with the cum everywhere was just worth it. But I loved it. I'm looking forward to the second one. It seems like they've almost finished shooting Guardians of the Galaxy 2, so.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty close to we have a release date.
Yes, I'm very excited. So that's our comic book adaptation talk. We'll move on to the next topic, which is video games. I think that you two know a thing or two about video games, right?
We have played a little bit.
A little bit. So first off, give me a rundown, starting with you, John, of, like, gaming systems you've had, your favorite video games, what do you play now, what, you know, stuff like that.
Well, see, the first gaming system I had was an NES that my grandmother bought for me. Mm-hmm. Best present ever.
You said NES. Original NES.
Original NES that my grandmother bought for me. And that, of course, that was the first time I'd ever played a video game at that point. I was, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and it was just completely mind-blowing. And from then, I actually stalled with NES, and I stayed with the NES until I got a Nintendo 64 years later.
Whoa!
Yeah, so it was like a big leap for me. And after N64, I think at that point, it was just a year or so later that we got Game Boys, my sister and I, and we got the Game Boy Color with the Pokemon and all that shit. So, and then I got a PlayStation 1 a few years later, and Xbox. And ever since Xbox came out, I've been fully on the Xbox train. Of course, I did do PC gaming throughout, but ever since Xbox, the
You've
first
heard it
one
here
came
first.
Out.
Jonathan is a strict PC gamer. Take that what you will. But Xbox, you're an Xbox guy. So what are your games that you play right now?
The games I'm playing right now, I've been playing a lot of Battleborn, actually.
Yeah, so you showed me that game recently, and it was actually really fun.
Yeah. I know there's been the whole argument over what's better, Battleborn or Overwatch, and honestly, I can't say. I haven't played Overwatch.
I played both, and Overwatch is so much fun, but, you know, that's...
Yeah, I've heard good things, but... Fuck it.
Fuck it. I'm sticking with Battleborn.
I'm maintaining that Battleborn is a better game because that's the one I own.
All right. And Jeremy, what about your video game origin story?
Oh, man. Like, I think it probably started with Sega consoles way back in the day.
Damn, Sega consoles.
And then it probably transferred over to... I never actually owned a Nintendo.
Okay.
Never owned a Nintendo. The only time I've ever really played Nintendo games was at a cousin who was into them, and then when we play your kind of like that weird modded little Xbox.
Oh, yeah, I've also got a modded Xbox here that has every single system known to man put on it, and that's pretty awesome.
So we can play Ninja Turtles.
Sweet, the original Ninja Turtles?
The original Ninja Turtles.
Fantastic.
And the arcade version.
And the arcade version? I remember that.
And so, like, Sega, and then I think it transferred over to the PlayStation. But I want to say once Xbox came out, I think I switched over to that. I don't remember why, but ever since then, like, Halo has probably been the game I played the most consistently across the board. And currently I'm playing probably Destiny more than anything. But also lately in the last kind of like couple weeks, I've been playing a little bit more Halo 5.
Halo 5. So I'll say I've had a Nintendo. I've had usually all the Nintendo systems, from Nintendo all the way to GameCube. And then when Xbox and PS2 came out, I got those, and I've had every system since then. I don't have the Wii U. I had the Wii, but I sold it. So now, right now, I have PS4 and Xbox One. Love them both. I went into it kicking and screaming, but I did, because Destiny came out and Halo came out, and I just had to get it. But I want to say that some of my favorite moments in video gaming were with you guys in JMR and a few other people playing Halo for hours on end. I mean, I don't think I've laughed that hard or oh my god.
It was good times. I posted about that on Facebook like literally yesterday.
Really? What'd you post?
I just posted a Halo sketch that I did and then talked about how Halo 3 was the most fun that I've ever had gaming.
Yeah, no, it really was.
It was the golden age.
It was the golden age. We'll never get it back.
It's gone.
But it's gone. But yeah, so yeah, I'm playing Overwatch right now. I played Halo 5, which it's Halo 5, right?
Yes.
I can't, there's too many. So there's two games I'm playing really right now. I want to get back into Destiny because you're playing a lot on it. But let's get into some games that are coming out that we're looking forward to. I guess the big one this month that has been on every commercial is Lego Star Wars.
Yes.
So tell me, have you played a Lego Star or a Lego game before?
I hate the Lego games.
You hate the Lego games?
I fucking hate them.
Tell me why, because a lot of people like them.
I know they're really popular, but they bore the living shit out of me.
Are they really that bad?
They're that bad. I mean, I love Star Wars. Love Star Wars. It's probably my number one fandom is Star Wars, but even with my adoration for the characters and the universe and all of that, I just can't get into it.
Is it
too one-dimensional. It's going around collecting coins, and it's too campy. It doesn't do anything for me. I can't.
This is the Force Awakens version.
I know, but
you're not going to get it?
No, fuck no.
How much you bet he's going to get it first day?
He won't get it.
I haven't purchased a Lego game since the first Lego Star Wars came out, and I played it for like 3 weeks and sold it immediately.
Was it that bad?
It was that bad.
So what about you?
I will probably get it eventually. I usually kind of just stick to one game at a time, and currently, so that's kind of like Destiny and Halo were kind of sharing that spot, but I actually really like the Lego games. The other reason I like them is because I game a lot with my girlfriend Josie. And the nice thing about a Lego game is that we can both play on one console. So we can buy one game and play together.
Okay, so that brings up the multi-screen player thing, right? Because you can play on one screen, right?
Split screen.
Do you like the split screen better, or do you like playing on different TVs?
It's hard for me to say because I have so many good memories of split screen. Of course, that I was raised in the era of playing on a couch and just screaming at your friends.
Right there.
Staring into a little tiny television, just searing your retina.
Those two televisions with I think you mentioned the other day, GoldenEye.
Yes.
And you had the four screens and you're like, oh God.
Yeah, you're playing a little 6-inch.
And then what was the big complaint was like, you're screen watching.
Yeah, you're screen peeking.
You're screen peeking. That's what it was. Oh my God, we need a screen peeking t-shirt.
So I love split screen because of what it is. But also I can acknowledge that nowadays the games require so much juice to get them going that anytime you have a split screen game nowadays, it's always going to be a dip in graphics. If it's running at this kind of frame rate, as soon as you put a second player on there, it's going to be looking a lot less good.
Okay, all right.
So that's the one reason. I mean, my wife and I, we play games all the time, but we just got a second Xbox and a second television.
Okay.
And we just play.
Sitting next to each other, right?
So we're still playing on the same couch.
Okay.
But we can play independently as well.
Okay, all right. And it's the same way with
you. Yeah, we do the same thing, because at this point, you pretty much don't have a choice, because the majority of games come out and don't even have an option to play split screen anymore. Like, I think Halo 5 was the first Halo game where, you used to always have that option.
Yeah.
Even when other companies weren't doing it, like Battlefront or Battlefield and things like that didn't have it. But, Halo was the one that always did, and this was the first game where it didn't have split screen. And so
right.
It was kind of like,
so do you think that's a way for them to make more money? Like, when they announced the Xbox One, PS4, they were trying to say, the game will only work on your console never again. But this is a way to, you have to buy a new Xbox and another game.
I'm sure that's a factor. I find it hard to believe that Microsoft has just ignored that benefit.
Yeah, they didn't announce it. You know, it was something that people just kind of looked into, and then I think it kind of got brought up. And then they mentioned all the stuff that John just mentioned, you know, where it's like the graphics and the, you know, the game just can't hang,
yeah,
you know, when you go to the split screen. So I understand it to a certain degree, but also at the same time, it in truth, what it ends up doing is it ends up limiting the games that we buy, because there were games that we would get, you know, just to try them out that were split screen that now we won't buy because, you know, we're not going to buy two copies of a game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get that.
I'm not going to drop $120 just to see if we might like to play something.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And the cross-platform plan, because I have Destiny for PS4 and you have it for Xbox, meaning we can't play yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully at some point, do you think they need to mix all the games together, like cross-play online?
I'm sure. I feel like I read something not long ago about how they're PlayStation and Microsoft are in the talks to be working out some kind of
negotiation.
See, I've heard
PC
like
and
that.
Then the consoles, but not the two big, like Sony and Microsoft yet. But PC, though.
I haven't heard the PlayStation Xbox thing, but Xbox is working on something, and I think it's coming out later this year, where if you've got an Xbox and a computer with Windows 10,
mm-hmm.
then what you'll be able to do is pause Battleborn on your Xbox, go to your computer, sit down, pick it up exactly where you left it off.
Nice.
On that. But then also what it's going to open is that you'll be able to do multiplayer with anybody that has a PC.
Yeah, so yeah, awesome. PC and like Xbox. So I want PS4 and Xbox. There's so many people have those.
Right.
Even though PC is probably the better engine because it's so much stronger than the PS4 and Xbox. But a lot of people like that. And like I said, I bought the PS4, the Destiny version.
Right.
So I have the PS4, and I bought the Halo Xbox version. So I know Halo really won't be on PS4, but Destiny's for everything.
Right.
It just sucks not to be able to play with y'all, because
yeah.
now I'll have to fucking sell the game and get the other one, or just buy
it. It's worth it.
It's worth it, yeah. We'll just all raid together. But back to... we got off on tangents here on Mediocrity. We're sorry.
But we don't care that much.
Yeah, we don't care that
much. It's just an okay show.
It's an okay show. But back to Lego Star Wars. You don't want to do it at all. You're not even curious.
No, I'm not.
He's out. John's out.
Game.
And you're going to give it a shot.
I'm in. Okay. I think I've played almost all the Lego games.
All right, that's good. So... I want to try it because the trailers look good and I like Legos, and even though I haven't touched a Lego in years. And you know what?
Going to
the Lego store, they're expensive.
They're crazy expensive.
Like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, now when my niece, like, I take my niece to go toy shopping or something like that, and she's like, let's go to Legos. I'm like, let's not look at the Legos.
For like a Lego pack the size of your hand's like $30
it's
now.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like they make those things out of actual gold.
Yeah, it's crazy. So another game coming out, it might be this month or it might be the very first of next month, is the new Ghostbusters game with the female cast. Which, I'll just say this, I'm looking forward to the Ghostbusters movie with the all-woman cast. I like Paul Feig. He hasn't done a wrong thing yet. He did Freaks and Geeks. He did Bridesmaids. He did The Heat. He did Spy. All great movies. It's tough to remake this one. We'll see what happens. But there's a game. And there was a game for Xbox that came out called Ghostbusters. It was really good. They got all the voices back. Did y'all play that, the Ghostbusters?
We played it
before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And it was really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you looking forward to this new one? Do you think it'll be like kind of the same kind of fun that...
Yeah, I'm always interested in Ghostbusters stuff. I've never been a huge fan of Ghostbusters, but...
What are you a huge fan of? Besides Star Wars.
Ghostbusters, to me, was always... I like it, but I was never a huge fan.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's just okay.
What about you?
I love Ghostbusters. you know, for me, I'm really looking forward to the new movie. As soon as, like... I was kind of a little apprehensive about a new movie that didn't have the original cast... until I found out they weren't playing just female versions of like Venkman,
yeah,
and Spangler and Stance and, you know, and Zeddemore. So for me, I was okay with it as soon as I found out that they weren't playing those characters, that it was different characters. Then I was a little more on board with it. So I'm looking forward to that. I wouldn't mind checking out the game. I'll probably like wait until I see the movie first.
Uh-huh. And then go into it.
I'm excited about the movie.
Yeah.
I'm just really happy Bill Murray's not in it.
He is in it. They're all in it.
Oh, that's
They're all like really, really small cameos of not their old characters. But they're all, like, different.
Well, a little bit of Bill Murray, then.
Yeah, a little bit of Murray.
A little bit I can handle.
If you couldn't see John's face, it was, like, sheer disappointment. His smile just were like, oh, man, that's disappointing. That's really funny.
No, the only thing I was looking forward to this movie.
Just a lack of Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
I think that they're all in it, but I think they're all, like, really, like, walk-by cameos. Gotcha. So they're not really there, and they're not their characters from Ghostbusters, is good.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. Another one that I guess came out this month is a new Pac-Man game for several systems. I haven't played a Pac-Man game since Arcade, really. So
neither have I.
I don't know what to expect of it. There's also one called Umbrella Corps. I don't know anything about it, but it reminds me of Resident Evil. Which brings me to Resident Evil 5, and Resident Evil 5 is coming out on Xbox and PS4. Mm-hmm. I like Resident Evil games.
I remember playing Resident Evil 4 with you, actually.
That one for the Wii? Was
No, the one for is Xbox.
Was it Xbox? Was it Xbox? Okay, yeah. So Resident Evil 5. Hello.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. I like they're good. And that's, I think, since we've talked about comic book adaptation, we'll dive into this next week, but a precursor into video game adaptations. Usually they're really awful, but even though Resident Evil might be terrible, they're still, like, the most successful, I think. Because there's been so many sequels that have gotten wide releases.
This is true.
But we'll talk... Maybe we might talk about video game adaptations next week, which... Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear your... Is there any video games that are coming out that you're looking forward to? I mean, I know we've talked about No Man's Sky, but that's been delayed, you know, just several times now.
Right now, I am on the verge of shitting my pants with excitement over the special edition of Skyrim coming out.
Oh, wait. So Skyrim, and there's, so what's the special edition?
Well, it's the remaster. They're doing a modern console remaster of Skyrim.
Okay.
And that's going to be out in December, I believe, December 17th, I think.
Is there anything, like, added on to the game, or is it just, like, the same thing, but
it's
with the high
def? It's the exact same game with all the DLC and everything that originally came out for the last generation of consoles, except it's all been completely remapped and retextured everything, and it looks fantastic. I saw some of the videos that they put out at E3, and it's very exciting.
So we're going to lose you for a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh? You're going to go into a deep spiral of
my wife,
no sex
me,
and no food and just no work.
Set up the podcast next to him while he plays.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'll just revert to full Gollum status.
And then he'll just like, you hear grunting, and then he'll chime in a little bit, and you'll just hear the clicking of the controller.
Yeah. Right.
That was perhaps, it's easily one of my top three favorite games of all time, Skyrim.
Okay.
And I got so much mileage out of that game, and I'm just so excited. I mean, I'm kind of half upset because I have to start over again. I'm assuming I can't transfer my character to the new one. I don't even know if I want to, but I'm still kind of pissed because there's like 70-plus hours put in that other campaign.
Do you think it's really only 70-plus hours? Do you think it's like 500?
Definitely more than that. Going with a modest number here.
Okay, a modest number. All right, Jeremy, what about you? What game are you looking for?
Oh, man, probably in terms of a new game, the only one jumping out off the top of my head is Mass Effect.
Okay.
So.
Big Mass Effect fan.
Love the Mass Effect game, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next with that. I would actually really love if they would do like they did with Skyrim. Just do a remaster of the first three Mass Effects.
They might do it. You never know.
Great. I would love that as well.
I know Square Enix that puts out all the Final Fantasies and Hitmans. When they release a new one, they usually do several of the previous ones in remastered version.
Right.
So
let me ask you guys this. Would you like an HD remake of Halo 3?
Oh my God,
yeah. Yes.
So I bought, you know, with that Xbox I bought for Halo 5, I got that... The whole Master Chief Collection. I was very disappointed with it.
I was excited about, what was it? They remastered the first two, right?
Yeah.
And that was cool.
It was cool to see, but it just, I feel like it didn't work well. And you could play Halo 3 and like, oh, come on, guys.
It's always hard to go back in time with video games.
Right.
Because at the time it seems so new and so fresh and so exciting, yet when you revisit that, it always is a lot. It's like GoldenEye. I mean, like, I love GoldenEye so much. But I go back and I'm like, let's play some fucking GoldenEye. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, what do you guys want to do now?
Yeah. But with Halo 3, I think if they remastered Halo 3 in, you know, a 4K version of it or a 1080p version and just, like, added a little bit extra to it, I think that we would relive. I don't know what we would do.
I say let's just make Halo 6 Halo 3, and nobody will fucking know the difference. Because who played the campaign that much anyways?
We did, until we beat it, and then we were just multiplayer. Because, oh my god. And then, I was going to say something about Halo. Oh, and bring back to the next Halo the easier version of making a map. Because I think we tried to make a map on Halo 5, and it was just...
Well, Jeremy was the one who did it. When I figured out how to do it, it was easier because there were a lot of elements that they added. But the thing that screwed us when we were making our special map was there were no point modifiers.
Okay.
So when it came to turning on the splatters and us getting the extra points for that, that's when it did not work. Which sucked because I found that out after many hours of rebuilding that fucking map that we always played on.
My God. What was that map called?
That was the Dutch Rudder.
The Dutch Rudder. Mm-hmm. There were many hours of laughter and yelling.
Oh, yeah.
Of playing Dutch Rudder, I just have to say. But that's video games. Let's move on to our last topic, which is... going back to the comic book movie realm, is the upcoming summer movie, which is at the end of summer, August 5th, Suicide Squad, which is basically the Justice League, but with villains. It's directed by David Ayer and written by him. David Ayer has done mostly good things. He wrote Training Day. He directed End of Watch. He's done some good things. He's also done some bad things. I think it's a good choice for the movie. I'm looking forward to it. I am very scared about it because they had to do all the reshoots to make it more appealing and more comical. Because that's what was wrong with Batman vs. Superman. They took the comic out of the comic. It just was, they're too serious all the way. So I hope the new Suicide Squad version that we'll see come August is good. What do you think? I know you probably read up on a little bit about it. So
I did. I as well hope it's good. I have high hopes for all the superhero movies that come out, but I'm very cautious about this one.
So why are you cautious? Is it too many characters? Is it too many?
Well, I think it's a. The only reason why I want to go back and talk about Guardians of the Galaxy because it's a similar experience for me because the only person from Suicide Squad that I'm familiar with, the only character, is the Joker. Everyone else is relatively new characters to me. Except was it Deathstrike? Is he in there?
He's
one of the characters.
Deadshot.
Okay,
Deadshot.
Yeah.
And Harley.
Okay, right. So I'm familiar with a few of the characters a little bit, but not to the point where I'm excited about them. And I experienced a very similar feeling with Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's what most fans.
Exactly. And it's just like, why are they making a movie about these people? But with Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, you know, it's Marvel Studios. I have faith. They're going to do a great job. And my faith was rewarded. But with this one, the DC movies are nowhere near as consistently good.
Uh-huh.
So you're taking a bunch of characters that most people don't give a shit about, except for obviously the Joker and Harley. They have a huge fan base. But a lot of other characters, just for the average person, like who the hell are these people? You know, if I were to take my sister or my parents to go see this movie, who are not comic book fans, they would just be like, what? Who are these people we're watching?
Why are we watching this?
It's not like it's Iron Man or Captain America. Things like where almost every person in America has a general idea about the characters. They're very alien characters.
Does the trailer do anything for you?
No. The trailer just looks... you know, something about it reminds me of the, like, Batman and Robin movie. It has, like, that neon... It has that neon kind of...
Hey, you said you wanted the comic. There you go.
Yeah.
I just put some Joel Schumacher in it for
you.
Oh,
my goodness.
It looks like that to me. I have a feeling it might be really, really disappointing.
I hope not. Jeremy, your take.
You know, so I'm going to pick up right on the where he was talking about the trailer. My thing with the trailer is a lot of people are like, man, that trailer was brilliant. It was like a music video with Bohemian Rhapsody. And I'm like... they spent the whole time playing music and not letting you hear any dialogue. It's, to me, it's intentional. It's to be like...
which is scary, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like, it's a little more three-card Monty than it is showing you. Like, and I'm a big fan of, like, I prefer actually not to watch trailers a whole lot. Like, you know, if it's something, you know, like, let's say, like a Star Wars movie where, for the most part... you pretty much know that the Falcon's going to fly around and you're going to see some lightsabers and things like that. So, like a Star Wars trailer, too, but like, for example, like when we went to see the Dark Knight with like the Heath Ledger Joker, like,
yeah.
I didn't watch a single trailer before we went to see that movie. So when the Heath Ledger Joker came out, like the first time I'd actually seen even what he looked like was when we were standing in line and there was a big banner that had a picture of him with where he was holding the card that was covering up like half, you know, like half of his face, I think. So, you know, getting to sit down in the theater and see that was mind blowing. But like I watched that trailer and I was just like, they didn't, you know, you didn't hear
hardly anything at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You, like, you heard Harley Quinn a little bit, yeah. Say a couple one-liners.
And, you know, and the thing that makes me a little nervous is, you know, we mentioned the authenticity, like, or authenticity with source material.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Joker looks different than any Joker we've seen, which I'm fine with, but the thing that I find a little bit weird is, you know, when keeping it authentic, all the characters look like the characters, but they decided that with Harley, they wanted to have a different movie version of literally of Harley than what we'd seen so far, like previously. Now, like, I mean, literally, like with Deadshot, it's a little bit different, but if you showed me a picture of movie Deadshot and didn't tell me that it was movie Deadshot, I would probably know who it is. I don't know, I could say the same thing with the Harley picture.
Right, right. Yeah, it's yeah. It looks like a good cast. I mean, I like Margot Robbie. She's,
yeah.
In the trailer, she looks good. Jared Leto looks, at first, did not like the Joker, but from what I've seen of him, it just looks like he's batshit crazy.
Let's hope so. Yeah. I mean, but he's got such a tall order to fill. I mean, coming up after being the next Joker after Heath Ledger,
yeah.
A lot of people, I think, are not even going to want to like him as the
Well,
Joker.
A lot of people thought the same thing when Heath Ledger was cast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
The yeah, hell? They lost
ten,
their minds
yeah,
so hard.
That things I hated about you. Yeah. They're like, what?
I remember hearing that,
and
yeah.
He blew everybody away. So I think, and
Leto could do the same thing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Because I feel like Leto in real life is kind of like that. Like, the Joker. and then, I mean, I like Will Smith a lot, and it'll be cool to see him in this role. I mean, it sucks that he kind of passed up Django Unchained for basically this. Whatever. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope it's good. I'll go see it. I may wait for video, but I'll see it.
Really? You won't see this in the theater? It's like, I'm trying to think of like another movie that really had like a really just the villains be the main support here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we're probably going to get Superman. We're going to get Batman in this mm-hmm. movie. We might get Wonder Woman. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
So the problem, I think, comes in with it being too serious, but it seems like they went back and reshot. Hopefully not cheesy shit.
Right.
And then there being literally probably 15, 20 characters to take in.
Is this, what's this movie rated? I don't know the rating on this.
I want to say PG-13.
I
it should be R,
movie,
but yeah.
Right. When I look at this movie, I see a movie that should be aimed at adults,
mm-hmm.
and it should be a hard R.
Yeah.
But instead, what I see is a movie that's being aimed at 15-year-olds that's going to be soft PG-13.
I hope not. I mean,
That's the feeling I get by watching the trailer. Just the appearance of the characters, the way they're dressed, the way everything looks, it does seem like it's really aimed towards the tween audience.
Yes. I hope not. I don't think it will. I mean, Batman vs. Superman wasn't that way, and Batman vs. Superman had some really violent moments in it.
Right.
And it was PG-13. They are doing the R version. There are several handful of movies that are PG-13 that really push the bounds.
Right.
I hope this one.
I hope so.
Suicide
I think
Squad
they
is.
Might have when the Deadpool movie
yeah.
was popular. I think they might have decided to make this one R.
You know what? I'm going to look this
look
up,
it up
real quick.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, real quick.
Because this
I,
would be important.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Because if I can see the Joker going crazy and, you know, really getting crazy and violent with some people, then that would be exciting to me. That would be fun. But
that would be awesome.
You know, if it's a little mm-hmm. dumbed down and not so intense, then I think that's going to... Because you've got all these deranged villains, and if you don't let them be deranged, then that's not going to be so fun.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I'm not getting good signal here, so we'll have to look it up. R or PG-13. No, we've got dogs here too. They're part of the podcast.
We've got dogs. We've got squeaky chairs, but it's just okay.
It's mediocre. Yeah. And you know what? I think the dogs are barking because we're talking about Suicide Squad because they want to chime in. About it. So, but That's what we think. Oh, we hope Suicide Squad's good. That's what we hope. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps up our first show. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we end?
I don't believe so. I'm just looking forward to the next episode, and I hope everybody tunes in.
See how
mediocre we can get.
Yeah, we are mediocrity. We will be on social media very soon, where you can ask us questions, give us comments, tell us how horrible we are, or how handsome we are. But I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Magert. Mediocrity. It's going to be awesome. First episode.